Jeremy the Impact York, welcome in. Obviously, didn't plan on doing it on Thursday, but just kind of ended up that way. Lots and lots of stuff we want to get into. We've got everything from this week as well. We're going to talk, so we will get into the things that they are doing with that. We'll talk some Atlanta Falcons. Some baseball, got some ML, but, you know, first I want to address, so far the season hasn't really kicked up here for our Hawks, so in a way it's basketball related, in a way it's not, where, Mr. Morey, who is the GM of the Houston Rockets, Sitwell, understandably, just to catch you guys up for people who don't know. Have the Lakers and the New Jersey Nets, maybe? I really don't know. Because, like I said, I hadn't really been keeping up with the one, the Hawks. But, so they're over there to play a game. Between, once again, understandable. All reaction. They got LeBron to weigh in. They got James Harden to weigh in. They, for the most part, gave typical answers. Here's my take on the whole thing. Should Mr. possibly not sent out? Sure. I don't have a problem with sending out. It's the timing's kind of weird. Will this affect numbers and money between China and the NBA moving forward? Sure. A lot of income from China goes to the NBA, and in return, the NBA helps China make a good chunk of change too. This will hurt relations a little bit. Commissioner Silver scrambled and made the most of this because China is still going to show the NBA games, still do business, so to say. But you got to keep in mind. You got to keep in mind where you're at when you do things. I think wasn't a simple misunderstanding. Oh, he said what he felt, and he said what people think. But it was just the wrong time. It was just the wrong time, and like I said, things will be kind of eased over, and ultimately peace will reign out, but especially when you're in a position of power, maybe you're the manager where you're at, maybe you're the owner, maybe you're just in charge of a couple people. You got to watch yourself, because the more power you get, obviously the more responsibility, and the more things carry more merit and weight, and you know, I don't think this is going to cost anybody a job or something like that, but the NBA is going to have to play it real tight, real close to the vest to make sure that they make it out. Not make it out of the country, but to where they can make the most of it. But I just wanted to weigh in on that because it seemed to be a hot topic. We don't talk a lot of NBA. We're going to try to talk more NBA this year, especially Hawks related. But how does this affect the Hawks? Sure, because as teams play in other countries, we have to keep in mind the rules we have in this country do not always apply to the ones over there in somebody else's. What I do in my house is not what you necessarily do in your house. I mean, it could be, you know, something as simple as maybe you have people take their shoes off at the door. Maybe I let you wear them throughout the house. Doesn't make either one of them right or wrong. It's just the rules of our house. So we just got to keep that in mind. I think, like I said, this is not going to be a big fiasco, but we're just going to have to watch what's being said. Moving on, I want to congratulate the Washington Nationals on being the National League representative in the World Series. I believe we are currently at game 4, I believe, tonight between the Yankees and Astros. I don't have a score update on that yet. Maybe we'll get one by the end of it. Obviously, a little biased. I would like to see the Yankees, but even if it's Houston, I think both of these give Washington, who is a scrappy team out of nowhere, the chance. I mean, in a way, the Washington Nationals are the baseball equivalent of what the St. Louis Blues were this past season in the NHL. The team, you know, in January, the St. Louis Blues were the last place team in the league. They battled all the way back and won the championship, won the Stanley Cup. Pretty dominating fashion. Whereas the Nationals were at one point the worst team in the league, and they rallied all the way back. Now they're National League champions at the very least. At the very least, they're going to be the second best team in the league. That's amazing. Because there's a lot of other teams we all thought. A lot of people thought the Braves or the Cardinals. Some people at some point thought the Cubs or, this team's unbeatable, that team. Well, we're down to 3. Only a couple games away from being down to 2. There we go. Into the bottom of the second, it is 1-0 Yankees, and Houston leads that series 2-1. There is the do want to congratulate Atlanta United for not only being second in the East and making the playoffs of their perspective. But they have a game, I believe, this Saturday, if I remember correctly. See if we can look this up. You know, right at the same time of everything else going on Saturday, which is usually works. Here we go. Yes, they play Saturday at 1 o'clock. MLS does theirs weird. I could have swore this was here. Is it not? It is. Oh, it is here. Okay. So that game is at 1 o'clock. That is here. I guess we'll be getting updates as I head towards the Georgia State game, which we talked about on the game plan this week. You can check that out, same place you caught this show. But, you know, I feel pretty good about Atlanta's chances. I'm just checking ahead to see how they do this. I think it's a single elimination in the first round. But the New England Revolution are a good team. But I do believe our Atlanta United can win that particular game. I think they have a lot of the momentum going in. They won to Atlanta United. If I remember, we'll have an update on that game for Georgia State. Let's see, what else to get into? You know, this partially comes from being a Cowboys fan, but also from being in the media. Jerry Jones recently has came out and talked about how Jason Garrett would be a would not be on the market long. And he keeps pumping him up, saying different things there. I think he's pretty setting up for there's going to be a parting, and Jason Garrett is not going to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys after this season. I think he's going to ride out the season, and outside of, I don't know, probably a Super Bowl appearance, might even be a win at this point, but a Super Bowl appearance. I think his 10-year tenure is reaching its end, and I don't know what direction Jerry could go. I know everybody thinks Lincoln Riley, which maybe the offense is not the problem. Pretty good defense too. I really don't know what Jerry Jones is doing here. I thought a couple years ago would have been a good time to get rid of Jason Garrett. If you do bring in somebody, you definitely want to bring in at least a coach, not necessarily a head coach, but it could be that works well with quarterbacks. Try to develop Dak a little more, or to bring in another guy. Maybe they let Dak and Jason kind of wander off by themselves. But the fact that he's went out of his way to continue to pump up the noise about Jason Garrett just tells me that it's probably the beginning of the end. I'm sure we're past the beginning of the end at this point. We are two-thirds of the way through a dramatic sci-fi thriller. But Cowboy fans, I don't really know how to tell you how to feel. Feel how you want about it, whether you wanted Jason around, whether you didn't. I personally never had a problem with the guy. I think he is like Mike Tomlin. He is a big rah-rah coach. He's very motivational. Being a former quarterback, he knows a lot about the offense, but he's not bad on defense either. Because in order to be really good at one, you're usually pretty decent at the other. So, just keep an eye on it, especially if the Cowboys continue to slide. You know, you win the first three, you lose the next three. If they continue to slide, maybe this picks up a little more steam. And not long from now, maybe he doesn't make it to the end of the year. I'm not sure who the only difference there is, unlike Atlanta, I'm not sure which coach they would put in charge as an interim at that point. That's why I think they're going to let him ride out the year and they'll move on from there. Moving on. Let's go to the XFL, right? The XFL, ran by chairman of the WWE, Vince McMahon, had their draft the other day. And I'm just going to kind of go through a couple of the teams and give you kind of the notable things here or there. I don't know if they assigned starting QBs or big-time QBs to teams or if they drafted them because they don't have numbers beside them. But let's start with the DC Defenders. They have Cardale Jones from Ohio State as their quarterback. DeAndre Thompkins from Penn State, the wide receiver, was picked. Orson Charles from is a part of their team. Max McCaffrey, who is another wide receiver. Let's see if there's anybody else. Some of you guys might remember Toby Weathersby from the tackle from LSU. You got Scooby Wright, the linebacker. Not really seeing. Matt Elam from Florida is the safety over there. Then you get to the Houston Roughnecks. They have Connor Cook as a QB. They have Sammy Coates, wide receiver from Auburn. Not really seeing anybody of big note. Yeah, for the most part, unless they played at the college of your choice, then there's a good chance that you'll mainly know the position or the skill position players. The New York Guardians have Matt McGloin as a quarterback. They got Tim Cook, the running back. Cyrus Quanjo, the tackle from Alabama. They got Ari Quanjo as well, the guard from Alabama. Yeah, pretty much just going to go through them like that. The Dallas Renegades have Landry Jones. They have Cameron Artis Payne from Auburn. Now I know, pretty sure one of these, I thought it was Dallas, had picked up a wide receiver I was familiar with, but I don't see him there. See if it was DC then. It was one of these. Not looking like any of those yet. I know, compelling. You got Tampa Bay Vipers. They, of course, have Aaron Murray. We all know Aaron Murray in this area especially. They have Devion Smith, who actually played in the AAF. I actually met him when he played up here in Georgia State Stadium for that game. And that moves us to the St. Louis Battlehawks. They have Christine Michelle, or Michael, maybe. I forgot how you say his name. Matt Jones, a running back from Florida. Seems a pretty evie looking. Seattle Dragons, Silvers from Troy. He also played in the AAF. Malachi Jones from App State. Seen that guy play. He is a baller. The LA Wildcats. They have Luis Perez, who also played in the AAF. Elijah Hood from North Carolina. Six, seven, eight. Okay, there's all eight teams in. Okay. Just making sure of that. But we'll see what happens. You know, we all thought, or a lot of us thought the AAF would do some pretty good things. And it kind of didn't. And then we'll see how the XFL does here. I would kind of like to have a league like this. I think it's a good place for people who need the reps to get those reps, and for people to maybe give getting back in the NFL one more shot. So we'll see what happens to the XFL. I know I'll watch as many of them as I can, and hopefully you guys will too. Some other news and notes from the NFL before we get into some Falcons. Brock Osweiler retires after, I believe, 8 seasons. He made a good chunk of money. Don't feel bad for him. Just could never seem to make it work. Got injured a couple times. Had some bad times. But the Brock Lobster there, the Brock Star, whatever you want to call him, he had an okay career. I don't think he's going to the XFL. But I could see him going to Canada or Europe or something like that if he wanted to still give it a shot. But him retiring, he's probably just going to move on to the next phase of his life. Good for him. The Jaguars traded Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for a first-round pick in 2020 and a first-round pick in 2021 and also a fourth-round pick in 2021. And miraculously, his back feels better, and I believe he was on a practice field ever since he got traded earlier this week. So, amazing what those long plane rides will actually do for your back. Yeah, he just wanted out, and so he sat out. Or maybe they used what was a minor injury as a major injury and as a way to keep him off the field so that he was healthy to be traded. Because you can't trade a hurt player. But the Rams get Jalen Ramsey. I know what you're saying. Well, the Rams have Marcus Peters. Au contraire, mon frère. Because either in response or right before that, which triggered that, the Rams sent Marcus Peters to the Ravens for linebacker Kenny Young and a fifth-round pick. Now, Marcus Peters is still really good. I guess if you're getting Jalen Ramsey, room for Marcus Peters, but I don't know why you couldn't keep them both unless you realize that when you give Jalen Ramsey the contract that he probably wants, and that's if they do. They have that option to not do it. He does have a full another year next year where he is technically under contract. Maybe they realized they couldn't pay everybody in that, and Marcus Peters just odd man out. But in Baltimore, he is going to do some giant things, and including potentially chase Russell Wilson this week or pick him up. And then the Tennessee Titans have benched Marcus Mariota for Ryan Tannehill. It is official. This is what I said all along. I still think the Titans can win this division, even though it looks like Houston is really, really good. The Colts are really good. The Jaguars, I don't know, are pretty good. But if they're going to win this division, I told you when Mariota started to slide, they got to know when to pull the trigger, make the swap. If the swap don't work, then it don't work. But you got to try to hang on to what you can and what momentum you have. And I think Ryan Tannehill is at least a little more consistent. We'll see if the Titans can rebound and get right back in the mix. Now, that being said, I've heard on multiple shows all week long this particular question, and I don't think it's that hard. From the first time I heard it, I had the same answer I still do now. And that's, given the Patriots' success, who is the second best team in the AFC? Very, very simple. The second best team in the AFC is the Houston Texans. On offense, they are obliterating people. On defense, they are hammering and getting after the quarterback and pressuring and doing everything they got to do. And special teams, they're just coming off without a hitch. So, easy answer. It's the Houston Texans. Now, you could make a case for the Chiefs, who are playing right now. Some people say other teams here and there. But, as far as consistency, one you can get behind, one that I believe in, I very much think that it is the Houston Texans. Now, let's talk some Falcons. Now, we know they lost to Arizona 34-33. A lot of people say that it's Matt Bryant's fault because, or some say, not, let's give people credit. Some say it's Matt Bryant's fault he missed the, that would have been the game-tying extra point, something he usually doesn't miss. He comes down to multiple moments, thousands of moments that could have went one way or the other. You could have played this way or that way. I don't think you could blame him for that. Now, he'll blame himself, but you got to look at Larry Fitzgerald was having a pretty solid day. Kyler Murray is actually pretty good. His line's terrible. If they ever fix his line, then you'll get a Lamar Jackson-like effect, I believe. Maybe even Deshaun Watson. You know, I don't know if he's going to be that good like that, but he's going to be a pretty solid, pretty good option quarterback if they ever fix that line over there. But this Cardinals team, they have a lot of young, developing talent. And it showed. They, if you allow them to hang around a game, which the Falcons did, their defense did at least, the offense was on top of everything. We'll get into that in a second. But for them to roar back and to, I mean, the defense kept them in the game once they got behind. They just couldn't close it out. As I put on here, the spiral is continuing. Honestly, if they lose this week to the Rams, it could be Dan Quinn's last. I honestly think it's going to happen right before the bye week. And I can't remember when the bye week is. I think it is. See, do I have it? No, I don't have it on here. It is. Let's look it up. Why not? We just all know it's the beginning of the end. It seems like outside of Matt Ryan and Julio and Sanu and Ridley and Hooper on offense and a couple others, and on defense, the Grady Jarretts and the few like that, the Keanu Neals, you know, those kind of guys that are the real gamers, that they're overplaying, trying to make up for not people underplaying, but the rest of the team seems like they're playing to get their coach fired, because it's very much what it looks like they're doing. You got to think, you know, they get the Rams and Jalen Ramsey, so they'll be on Julio. All right, here we go. Let's see. They get the Rams, then they get the Seahawks, and they're off. Yeah. Outside of winning both those games, Dan Quinn is... Dan Quinn is days are numbered. And for those of you not watching the game, Kyler Murray is down. But yeah, none personal, Dan Quinn. You seem like a real good guy. I think you're going to be a good coach wherever you go. Might have to be a coordinator first. But, you know, just keep this in mind. Somebody next year is going to be a brand new head coach, and they could have their defense ran by Dan Quinn and their offense ran by Jay Gruden. That's a scary combination. That's a scary combination. I'll take that. I'll absolutely take that. And I know half you guys would, too. And real quickly, I'll go through that list again. You're not getting Rob Ryan. You're not getting Rex Ryan. You're not getting Jay Gruden. The only name that's been thrown out there that makes some sense to me, because it's got to be somebody, it's like an Aaron Rodgers situation, but not quite as turned up. Somebody that works well with your stars and will help Matt Ryan along as well, gets along with him. They said Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy could be an interesting idea. A lot of people say he might go to Washington because, you know, that's now open too. But, you know, McCarthy could be one. Or because it's not really the offense that's the problem. It's the defense. And it's almost to the point of keep about three or four of them and scrap the rest. And just rebuild that thing. But to me, Matt Ryan is still overplaying and overthrowing to try to offset the defensive effort. And he's just trying to will everything he has into winning games because he doesn't want to give up, and I applaud him for that. To be fair, for all of you that are saying something about the Patrick Mahomes injury, he had a dinged up foot or something earlier. And he seems to be hobbling, so it could be he could have re-aggravated that. Looks like it's leg related from what they're showing. But anyway, back to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, like I said, he's doing everything he can. He's having another MVP season. He's just on a team that's just not winning games. But cheer up, Falcons fans. Changes are coming soon. And hopefully they're for the better. Because, even though the Falcons are not my team, and you guys know that, a lot of you guys know that. If you're new, then it's not. Then now it's not news to you anymore. But even though they're not my team, they're the local team. And we talk about them on here. I want them to do well. It's just not looking like it's going to be this season. I'm not saying they couldn't turn around. Just saying it's not looking like they will. But that's going to lead us into the picks for this week, and then we will get out of here, and you guys can get back to your regularly scheduled programs. I did okay last week. I ended up going 2-2. I incorrectly said Philadelphia would beat Minnesota. Whoops. And I incorrectly thought that Miami would find a way to win over Washington. Miami outsmarted all of us and found a way to lose to Washington. 2-point conversion that looked like you drew it up in the dirt. I did correctly say Houston over Kansas City and Atlanta. So maybe 2-2. Still, once again, no guest picks this week. If you'd like to be a part of the guest picks, you know how to find us here on the show. Love to hear from you. And we'll line up. Because a lot of people say, well, you could always get some of the guys who've been on the show. No, I want to keep it to fans of the show and people who are not associated with the show. Because I think that's what makes the element of it really, really good. Now, the games for this week. I've got the LA Rams at the Atlanta Falcons. We all know how this is going to go. I don't like the Rams offense at all right now. I don't like the way Jared Goff's playing right now, but I feel like you're not going to have to do a whole lot because Jalen Ramsey's probably going to do a pretty good number of shutting down Julio Jones. If this gets into a score fest, Atlanta has a chance, but I haven't seen their defense stop anybody all year long, really, outside of Philly. So give me the LA Rams in a, 24-20, something like that. But give me the LA Rams. In a way, it's going to help the Rams and Falcons fans. Another loss helps you guys because that's a bigger shot of get maybe even GM. But take the Rams on the road over Atlanta. Minnesota at Detroit. Minnesota has suddenly had a resurgence. Apparently all you have to do is hurt Kirk Cousins' feelings in public and he somehow finds a way to rebound. Detroit has also sparked out of nowhere. They might be one of the best teams in their division, even though they're not the one with the best record currently. I'm going to tell you to take Detroit at home. I really like what they're doing. And I think at some point Minnesota's going to be fool's gold. I think one of those weeks is this week. Arizona at the New York Giants. I told you, I like what Arizona's doing. Got to see them up close. Well, up close on my television against the Falcons. And against the Falcons, it is what it is. But the Falcons defense and New York Giants defense have a lot in common. And the New York Giants offense has kind of stalled a little bit without Saquon Barkley. And also Daniel Jones is trying, but he's a rookie. And until they get their act together, I'm not really believing in them. So take Arizona on the road in the Meadowlands, the new Meadowlands. And then Baltimore at Seattle. Told you guys this is a chance for Marcus Peters to chase Russell Wilson and pick him off and shut down probably Tyler Lockett, I would imagine, is who they put him on. Seattle is Seattle, and there's a reason why they are in the top of their division. And Russell Wilson is by far the MVP candidate at this point. He is the leader in the clubhouse because he has to be. I'm going to tell you to take the Baltimore Ravens to beat Seattle and the 12th man on the road. Well, I took three road teams this week. Sounds about right. But to recap, take the Rams over the Falcons. Take the Lions at home over Minnesota. Take the Cardinals on the road versus the Giants. And take the Ravens on the road in Seattle. Hopefully, my picks are helping you out. Hopefully, maybe you're taking the opposite of them. That's what my dad used to do. He never bet on them, per se. But he always said if I was really high on one team, he would take the other just to rile me up. That's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate you guys. Another great episode of Sports Club. This one entitled Spiral. We all know what that's about now. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons.